Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
So klingt frische Musik. Und so klingt frische bei Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere Angebote zum Aldi-Preis. Und weiter geht's mit frischer Musik für jeden Geschmack. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Today, coming at you with me, Sips, and Pyrian Flax.
Hang on, I thought you were going to say
what
that,
is up?
That you were Sips.
You're not Sips.
Yeah.
He's a separate entity.
With me, comma.
I'm a separate entity.
Sips. With me, Sips.
There wasn't there enough no of a pause or change of tone.
Yeah.
How long is the pause? Okay,
you
sorry.
You needed to go with me, Sips. And Pyrian Flax.
That takes
yeah, that's
too long.
Way better. You can tell that Flax is seasoned.
How about with me, Sips, and Pyrian Flax?
Yeah, it's either quicker with me, Sips, and Pyrian Flax. But with me, okay. Sips, and Pyrian Flax.
I?
That sounds like...
With I, Sips.
See, you wouldn't say... If it was... No, it doesn't.
I think that would be a cool robot.
Hey, I was just watching an advert. I was watching Frasier. I was watching Frasier, a classic Triforce show in the morning. Yeah.
You're such yeah. a human being.
I know.
P-Flex.
And they had an advert on for dentures.
Right.
And I'm not at the denture stage of being old yet, fair enough.
No,
you know?
Close.
But the funny thing is at the end of the advert, they show a woman doing something that obviously to the denture wearing crowd is like the money shot. And she bites into an apple like she
yes,
doesn't give a fuck.
It's always an apple. Always
and she looks
an
at the
apple.
Camera like, fuck yeah, I just ate an apple. And I'm thinking, yeah. It's interesting how your perspective on what's cool changes as you get older. And for the denture crowd, oh, she bit into an apple. She didn't even care.
Man,
that's
can you imagine though?
Evil like Knievel.
You haven't been able to eat an apple for the longest time. Like
yeah.
when you're a kid, the last thing you want to do is eat an apple. But when
right.
you're older and you've got dentures and you can't,
yeah.
They're not attached to your gums strong enough. So when you bite in, your teeth fall out.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I've
oh,
had
yeah.
that experience. You right. know, it's like
you got dentures.
Like fuck when I had braces.
Oh.
Yeah, I had braces on for a
oh,
few
of
years
course,
when I was
yeah.
a teenager. And you know, biting into an apple there is one of the things they tell you not to do.
Indeed.
And I mistakenly did it one time without thinking. And it was like it was like there's like a twang and everything came loose and it was like barbed wire stabbing into my gums.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It was like
right.
it was like a kind of like it felt like World War II and I'd got caught in like the Germans' fucking razor wire as I was trying to climb over the Jesus Christ. Anyway, P-Flax, you are an incredibly ordinary human being sitting on your sofa watching Frasier with your new puppy.
Yes.
Was he sitting? Is he sitting with she or
she?
Was she sitting with you calmly?
No. We don't let her on the sofa that often.
No.
That often? How long have you had her?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get some perspective on
all
this
right,
one.
Got her yesterday.
You've had her for 12 hours.
That often?
Yeah, but I mean...
Well,
you know,
one thing we like to do with her, we've been doing it for a long time. We've owned her for 12 hours.
All I'm saying is she's allowed on in the evening when she's sleepy. She has a little sleep next to Mrs. F on the sofa. But during the day, she's
you
like...
You mean in the one evening
of
that
night.
She's been there?
Look,
of
all
a,
I'm saying is this is the way we're going to go forward. If you want, I can just pretend... Like, this isn't the way things are going to be, and keep continually say, we've only had her a day, but... Or you can just accept that this is the regime, and that we've tried to stick to it from the start, and we're going to stick
Look,
to it. That's the way animals
like
consistency.
If you went on a date with a woman, if you were met, or you met a new person, or you had a new employee
right, I'm not
coming
dating
on,
the dog,
and you've been
Lewis.
There for... They've been there for... you've had that dog for 12 hours.
Right.
You're dating
okay.
your dog. You're allowed to do that.
And
Lewis is...
How do you know that all this detail yet? You don't even know someone after a day. I mean, I barely know people. They've been working here 6 years.
Well, that's on you.
That's because you have no social barometer. That's why.
I suppose I don't let them on the sofa either.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in future and going forward and so far, she is allowed on the sofa in the evenings only when I'm working upstairs and Mrs. F is downstairs. So, you know, because the thing is, she's too little to jump off the sofa, right? She'll hurt herself if she jumps off
the sofa. How old is this dog?
She is 12 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's
very
sweet.
Have you ever trained a dog before?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
How long ago?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Well, I was a teenager, so it's not like it's gone from my memory. But she's not ready for training yet. But we're going to take her to puppy training classes. Because there's one thing I hate. It's a dog that hasn't been trained at all. You know, you got to train them up.
So why did you
get a pupper in the first place? What's the motivation for
the girl? The girls really, really wanted a dog for a long time,
right?
And we figured, like, the kids now, like the way I see it, you got to continually set yourself challenges and change things up and add a bit of freshness to your life. Otherwise, it gets stale. And I was in a bit of a rut in terms of my day. It was basically drop kids at school, stream, collect kids from school, hang around, cook dinner. Stream, you know, it was like that. That was pretty much my day.
It does not sound like a rut, but okay.
Well, it is after 5 years. I feel like that's a bit rutty. So I thought it was fun, but I also thought, you know, what would be nice is going for a walk in the morning, having the dog. You know, she's very sweet. The kids love her, and I just thought it would also give them a sense of responsibility, which they completely lack.
Right.
And this has actually really changed their view of things. Like already. Is they're like tidying? I'm not even kidding.
You had this for a night.
When was the last time my kids saw a pair of shoes in the middle of the floor and put them in the shoebox? Never. It's never happened.
Right.
It's never happened. Right. Got the dog. We've had her as Lewis has it at great pains to point out. Less than 24 hours, and already they're picking stuff up. Oh, don't leave that there. Don't leave that. Oh, I can't put that there. And I was like, this is working. This is fucking working.
It's the honeymoon period.
Your house is going to be spotless.
Can I just say it's a honeymoon period? Your kids will go back to not doing stuff very quickly.
No, because then their shoes will get eaten. She's going to be consistent.
My dog ate my shoes one time, and I was vexed beyond.
But were you mad at the dog or were you mad at yourself?
The dog. Very, very.
You weren't mad at yourself.
Specifically, I wanted to kill him.
So you learned nothing.
Yeah, no, I was not mad at myself because I'm a human. I'm allowed to leave my shoes wherever I want. And I don't think I should expect them to be eaten by a piece of shit dog.
So first of all, what's its name? Her name? Have you got a name yet?
Agnes.
That's a really nice name, actually. Flex.
That's literally my grand's name.
It was not intentional.
You've named your dog the same name as my grand.
It's always got to be about you, eh, Lewis? Hey,
no,
always
got to
be about
Agnes,
you somehow.
It's a very human name.
Yeah. I like that,
isn't it?
I like animals with human names. My friend Dave had a cat called Glenn, named after Glenn Hoddle, but cat called Glenn.
My friend Dave had a dog called Dave.
Oh yeah, it's nice. Give him a real name. Yeah.
I feel like actually dogs can have more human names because they are like dogs are one of the only animals that actually like love you.
Yeah, they really do.
I think they love that you are able to give them food so they don't have to go out for it.
No, that's what cats are. Cats love you that you're able to give them food, but dogs that do actually love you. It's weird. They're actually like genetically...
We bred them for that purpose, bond to you and stuff.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
It's weird. So what breed is it? It looks like at first glance, it looks like a wrinkly thing, but
I don't think it is. French bulldog.
Right.
Okay.
Which has drawn some criticism from certain corners of
the
internet.
Right. Why is this?
Because it's not one of the cruel ones.
No.
Right?
I mean, look, first of all, she's very healthy dog. People are saying, I don't really want to go into it because it's just annoying. It's just fucking gives people a chance to climb on their high horse, which she can't do because she has such small legs.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, stop high-horsing it. It's kind of leggist.
Right. Well, I mean, even when I got Terry, you know, I had the same thing.
People are dicks. You know, they got to fucking run their opinion.
Saying, yeah, because the thing is, it's, there's like best practices, sure, for like owning any animal, right? But you're not going to get perfect. And every animal, like a person, is different too, right?
Right,
like,
right. So
there's certain things that they'll like that may be not conventional. Like, for example, Lewis fucks a stuffed dolphin constantly and every day.
Right.
Not everybody does, but Lewis does. So he has to be able to be himself. And sometimes dogs eat shit out of their own ass. And not every dog does that, but some dogs do. And sometimes you just got to let a dog be a dog. right? And you got to let Lewis him be Lewis.
Yeah. Well, in the same way, though, that you have to make smart choices, you know, some people breed dogs very cruelly. I don't know. I don't think bulldog is one of the ones which is, well, I know some of them have been bred very, so they can't breathe and stuff.
Right.
Have back problems.
Well, she's not like but, that. I met her mum. She was a fine shaped dog. You know, she was in really good nick and seemed very happy and everything. And
it's mostly in like the pedigree and the dog.
Yeah,
show
but these
stuff,
are like professional
people...
breeders. The you know, they're not breeding like those dickhead dogs that fall apart after 2 seconds. She's built to last, quite clearly.
Yeah, we ain't got sold a duff one. No. What was this one? Made in China. Look at it. It's a piece of shit.
She is.
Bits
she
of
is
it falling off.
In good nick. All right. So, yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. So are you, is this going to, because you said to me at the start, well, you in the Triforce WhatsApp group this morning, you said, not going to be able to do the podcast very long, so I have to make sure the dog isn't left alone.
No, yes, I said I wanted to make sure enough. We started on time, because right. So I could come up, do the podcast, and then go back down, because, yeah, she'll be okay. But she's in her little cage for an hour. That's fine. I've got the cleaner is over as well, so I wanted her just out of the way for a little bit. And she can't come upstairs at the moment because we're still introducing her to the cat.
Oh, fuck, you got right. A cat already too?
Yeah, we have a cat. And the cat came downstairs last night, took one look at the dog and just backed slowly out of the room. so, I mean, we had to get a few things like, I mean, the dog was in her cage because I knew the cat was coming downstairs. So I quickly popped her in a little cage and...
it's like a cartoon.
And let the cat sort of have a look at her. And the cat was like, yeah, this isn't working, and just sort of left. But we've moved the cat's food upstairs and she's got a litter box upstairs. So... She's happy enough, but I'm gradually going to try and introduce her to the idea that the dog is not going to kill her.
Yeah.
The last dog, of course, was the hell dog, my mum's old dog.
Oh, you're right. Of
yeah,
course.
I was surprised that you got a dog based on that
hell
experience.
Dog.
Well, I've had dogs
before.
Because
I remember
before,
as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, oh, fuck. I wonder if this dog's going to be like his mum's dog. Like straight
no,
away,
no,
that's
no,
what
no.
I thought.
She is 100% a sweetie pie, and my mum's dog was a vicious piece of shit who is now presumably... ruining some other people's lives. So good luck to them.
Wow.
Yep. Well, you know, maybe they can, maybe they've got a, they haven't got small kids and it's not such a problem.
Right.
Jesus.
Maybe two, a big farm, a big, you know, stick him on a farm where he can go wild to just, you know, yap at like cats and rats and stuff is like
indeed.
That solves. So he'll probably be all right with that, I'm sure. So you've got a safe space upstairs for the cat.
Yeah.
You've got the dog downstairs. It's all safe.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
It's all good.
Is he going to be terrified of the Hoover? I'm now concerned about the cleaner Hoover dog.
I mean,
dog
you know,
the
way I see it, if something freaks your dog out, that is something that it's going to have to come to deal with. They just have to get used to it. Like
yeah,
for real. Like you can't be like, oh, we're not hoovering anymore because it freaked the dog out once. She'll get used to it.
No, well,
my
absolutely.
Dogs used to hate the Hoover, but you know, fuck, it's part of life. Dealing with a Hoover is a part of a dog's life, isn't
but
it?
Then again, there are ways, I'm sure there's actually ways to introduce the Hoover in a less
traumatic
manner. Yeah,
you vacuum the dog's back with it. That's what that
right, doing. Yes. Okay.
Just run
yeah,
it over them and say,
it.
Get used to it. No, you know, she'll deal with it. It was okay, quite, the only traumatic thing for her yesterday was getting in the car and coming back, because I bought her from someone, it was Northwest London, and I had to come back down to Southwest London. And Google Maps was like, ugh, don't go on the M25, trust me. I was like, all right. So I went through London, a bit, not, you know, sort of south all way. And it was fucking awful. The traffic was terrible. We were stuck in traffic.
Did you take the A39?
I don't know. You don't know
yeah,
the roads around
or
here.
Or did you turn left at the roundabout?
Oh my God. Did you take the M325? Oh.
I wasn't even giving you guys the route. Don't do that. I wasn't dadding it up.
Hey, did you see the new give way sign that they put on the roundabout?
Oh, I can't believe it. There's speed camera. Oh, they've got speed trap there now. So.
They have made it 20 miles an hour in my entire area. They did this overnight. Like, they didn't tell anyone. They're just suddenly 20 mile an hour signs everywhere, which I'm all for. Because it's like, first
well, you've
of
got
all,
a cat and a dog.
We got a cat, a dog, and two kids. I'm happy with it. But a lot of people say, it's going to take forever to get anywhere now. I'm like, you never go over 20 in London anyway. What the hell is wrong with you?
Always takes forever to get anywhere. London's fucking ridiculous. Came out from London the other day and I blew my nose and I had like black, like smog in my nose. I couldn't believe
were
it.
You,
I was like, I'm only in there.
Cleaning out chimneys or something. What are you
I
about?
Wasn't. I, anyway.
He was Van Dyking it up.
Last weekend, Sips came down to Bristol.
That's right.
Oh, how was it?
And it was amazing.
It was the fucking
okay, so
best,
first of
man.
All,
it's the best trip ever. It's the best trip anyone's ever had to Bristol ever, Flax.
Nice.
It was like,
everyone had a good time. Everybody was so happy. Oh, it's the best.
It reminded me, first of all, of a lot of the times that I've hung out with Sips over the last 10 years. And it felt like nothing had changed in 10 years as well. You know, because like 10 years ago, we'd meet up, we'd go for like a pizza, we'd Sips would order a margarita, I'd have, you know, something spicy, and then we'd go out and then go to the cinema, okay, or whatever.
Oh yeah, we did go to the, we saw Doctor Sleep.
Sips was fucking more terrified by the trailer for a different movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
he looked over at me, he was like sweating, he was like...
Man, that movie did look fucking scary though, holy shit. What was it called then, again? It's that one where there's like there's a murder in a house and the house is cursed. And the curse, of course, is that classic old horror trope. The house is cursed by an old granny who looks creepy as fuck and drives a car and stuff. And you're just... Ugh.
The elderly don't get much of a break when it comes to horror. Being old, apparently, is scary enough in itself. Like, how many movies have you seen where the whole horror reveal is, there's an old lady in there, and everyone goes, ah!
Yeah, well, like, I mean, Dr. Sleep is a little bit like that, I guess. There's definitely an old... sort of, she's got some boils or some like some pussy nodes on her skin.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bathtub and shit. Like,
I always scream when I look at my face in the mirror when every day and there's a new wrinkle there or something, some horrible boil. I've got a lance. Yeah. It's a terrifying coming to terms with your slowly sagging face and slowly looking more and more like your dog.
The moral of the story is life stinks. Boys and girls, don't get old.
And then you die.
The end of the movie should be an old lady biting into an apple and scaring the shit out of all the kids, showing them her teeth.
My teeth work again.
New denture paste. Sticks the teeth right good up onto your gums.
I remember a commercial from when I was a kid. We used to make fun of it a lot. And it was same sort of thing, Flax. It was a woman biting into an apple, but it's just the way she said it was very funny. She's like, look at me eating an apple. And then we just used to run around just like repeating that line all the time. Like, just like you see a bus drive by you and you'd look and you'd be like, I wonder if my friend's on there. And all you'd hear like from out the back of the window, eating an apple, just driving down the street.
And then you'd see that, and then it would warp, right? The sound would warp. Eating an apple! And then it would, like, the screen would flicker, and you'd be like, eh! And then it'd be like, she'd suddenly turn into, like, a corpse with, like, maggots, like, coming out of her mouth, you know? Christ. And then it'll flash back to, like, normal
that's
granny
grim,
again,
thanks.
And she'd just, like, tilt her head.
Thanks for that.
Sorry. That's what, that, anyway, we watched, watched a movie, it was good.
Dr. Schlepp.
We ate pancakes, we ate...
No, waffles, we had waffles.
Waffles, sorry, we had waffles. Yeah. And I spoke to Alex
with real
and
maple
Bryony
syrup
about
as well, not even fake, it was real.
So we went to this place and ordered these waffles, and when they came, it was massive. And I spoke to Alex and Bryony, and they're like, oh yeah, did you have one of those waffles? We normally... you know, share it between four of us, but me and Sips had one each. It was like a pizza.
It was breakfast.
Of waffle.
It was breakfast.
Oh, God, that was insane. And then we had another pizza. Then we drank like 5 pints of cider and went to see Ghostface Killer.
Oh, that was amazing. Fuck me. I've thought about it every day since we went.
Okay, you tell me what you thought about the entire thing, and then I'll give my...
Well,
his is going to be negative, I can tell you now.
No, well, it's not negative. Right. It's just not what I expected.
I'm a long-time fan. I'm a big Wu-Tang fan, and especially Ghostface Killah fan. I've listened to a lot of his solo stuff over the years, and I listened to a lot of like older hip-hop, and Ghostface, one of those guys that keeps it real, you know, he's still releasing albums, but they still have that like 90s sound to them. And he's very distinctive. He's a really good lyricist and everything. And he's just had an album out this year. So I thought, okay, cool. Saw the tweet. It's like, fuck yeah, Ghostface Killah. He's going to Bristol. I go to Bristol all the fucking time. Like, I go there to do work and stuff. So fuck it. Well, I'll go over there. I'll do a bit of work. Go see Ghostface. I'll get some tickets, see who wants to come with me sort of thing. And then so I'm thinking to myself, he's just had a new album out, you know, he's probably going to be trying to like promote it somewhat or whatever. He's going to be singing a lot of like tracks off of that singing. He'll be, you know, singing his some tracks off of that or whatever. And I just thought, whatever, who cares? Like, I get to see him live and stuff. It'll probably be a really good show. Hopefully, you know, it's Bristol, it's the UK. Like, he's popular enough, but he's still like pretty underground and stuff. So it might not be that busy and stuff. So whatever. So we went, and the show was amazing. like fucking all of these old ass callbacks to like classic tracks from like 36 Chambers and like Iron Man and like fucking a whole bunch of his earlier solo albums and stuff. There was like, he had a guy with him who was like his, it's like his protege. Like, he's being mentored by Ghost. It's called, Trife the God. But he's like a lesser known guy, but he was just doing like hype man stuff and everything. And the show was really good. And it was just fucking amazing. I was just having a really good time, like just like rapping along to all the songs and stuff. And then after the show, I bought a shirt and I got it signed and I got my picture taken with him and everything. It was just great. Fuck, it was so good. I want to go again. I want to see like some more shows.
You sound like you've just been on to Alton Towers and you went on like a great ride and you're let's do it again.
Oh fuck, it was so good.
I'm not gonna puke up my milkshake this time.
A lot of fun. It was fun hanging out with like everybody as well, but like it was kind of fun taking a bunch of people who aren't really into hip hop and have never listened to Ghostface before and seeing like their reactions to it. And so I think everybody had a pretty good time though.
No, I think they did.
Well, I guess you're about to tell me whether you did or not.
No. Well, so first of all, I didn't know what to expect. This is not something I would have normally gone to, but Sip seemed excited and I was like, sure. We invited Harry from the office at Blue Goose and Bree and who else came? Someone else came. It was about
Duncan.
Duncan came. So about, you know, five or six of us. And it was at this place I've never been to, but I've walked past a lot of times. It's like kind of like a slightly grimy nightclub. You know, one of those kind of slightly sticky floor places.
Yeah.
Sounds like Yonkon.
It was.
Yeah. The same.
Very
sort of
reminiscent.
As that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent smoking section. It was like outside. It was great.
And so I don't know. I used to go to a lot of gigs when I was a teenager with my friends from school. And the crowd I was in was kind of a bit of a weird group. And they were really into like very death metal-y stuff with a mosh pit, lots of screaming and shouting. And I kind of just tagged along as like, I'm never the guy organizing this stuff. I don't know. It's funny. They were always very scary gigs. They were in central London at some sort of slightly down market venue, very loud, very like violent, like jumping around and stuff. And I came out of them obviously quite
scared.
I got used to it, right? But I did this quite regularly. Anyway, I was prepping, like psyching myself up for a similar situation here because I thought that I was quite threatened by it. Now, looking back now, 90s hip hop is this thing that at the time was very scary and threatening, okay? And it's like explicit lyrics talking about, you know, shooting people and, you know, people from, you know, these poor areas of, you know, deprived, you know, like black neighborhoods, like the projects and stuff and all this, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Actually, you said it wrong, actually. You're supposed to say Nameen. No. Now that you've been to a Ghostface show, you can say it. You're allowed.
You can even add a dog on the end there if you wish.
And I think always rap has had, and hip hop has had this kind of slightly threatening demeanor to it, right? And that's part of the allure, that it's kind of pushing the edge of what's acceptable. And definitely still today, this stuff is still happening with like the rappers like 69 or whatever, or that guy with tattoos all over his face
I
and
think
neck.
That's 69.
Is like 17.
That is 69.
But there's like a kid who's...
One of them inspects or goes to his daughter's gynecologist sessions to make sure that her hymen is still
intact. I think his name is. Yeah.
Rapper T.I.
Good God.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just awful. And, you know, you that world feels deliberately very, I don't know, like excluding to regular chumps like boomers like me or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Like myself.
To like,
like my damn
it,
self.
It feels like, do you know what I mean? I'm not, it's deliberately scary and threatening and that's part of it and I get it. And anyway, I was almost expecting that a bit. And so, because, you know, Bristol does have like quite a big area up in St. Paul's where there's like a lot of black people. They have a big festival.
I love
like
how a big quickly black community. You say black people.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
A black community. You know, I don't know how I'm supposed to say it, but, you know,
that's fine.
It's got
it's
a big.
I could just tell you're nervous
community.
About what you're going to say. I could tell that
I am,
you don't want to
step on any toes.
And, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. But I feel like I was wrapped up in this idea that we were going to be the only white guys there. And it was going to be like, I'm going to totally not fit in. And it was going to be weird. And so anyway, we get in and I just you know, dump my coat, because it's fucking freezing cold, so everyone's like wrapped up anyway. So there's this big queue for the cloakroom. We all dump our coats and gloves and stuff, get a drink, and then the whole place is just, it's like a sea of like just a mixture of people of all ages, mostly young white guys and some girls, and some older people, like some dads. There's like a disabled guy there, and you know, just a whole mix, like a whole cross section of like just ordinary looking people. And and the first act is like this white rapper who is rapping about how much his dad supported him to do this, and like his dad's in the audience, he like waves. It's like super wholesome. Okay, it's like not what I expected at all. Sound like. And then there was this other guy who was like actually a pretty good rapper, and he was obviously a British rapper. Like I think he'd come down from London, or maybe he was local.
Yeah, he was good.
But he was like,
actually all the opening acts were surprisingly good. I didn't expect them to be.
But
that
his
great.
Raps were very kind of because there's like a big UK like grime scene and a big like, and I've watched a few of like
there wasn't many scrat, but there was a couple of bo's. I don't know if you noticed, but like it wasn't too bad.
Anyway, like he was rapping, and like it was good to listen to. Like I could actually, with the English accent and stuff, I think I was able to like hear everything that was said, and it was kind of like it made a lot of sense. Like I don't know, it was just nice. It was lyrical. Sips was enjoying it. I was enjoying it.
They both had a bit of a 90s sound to them as well, which helped too. Like that,
yeah,
I prefer that sort of that sound. Like that, the beats were like very sort of like heavy. You know, like they were like
I felt incredibly
beats.
Safe. And then there was like a few tall people came and stood in front of me, and I sort of had to move away from them because you know there's always tall people at these things, and so it's going to happen. It's going to be like a 7 foot tall guy who just walks in front of you at some point. And then there was this, at the same time, there was a woman there who was like, she looked about mid-20s, but she stank. She was incredibly sweaty, okay?
Yeah.
And she was just constantly dancing. You know, like she was on some sort of drugs. Like it looked like she'd walked from...
bumping and grinding.
Like the wrong,
that's what she...
She was like, she was in the wrong place. Like she was supposed to be at a trance gig or something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or some different event. So she's just dancing away in front of me and Sips like really sweatily.
Nice description. Really, I like that.
And then in the meantime, there's like, because Sips announced on this podcast that there were still some tickets available, there were like about, I'd say, 20 or 30 fans.
I don't think I said there was tickets available. I think we just said that we're going.
I thought you did say that there were some available. Does ring a bell. I could be wrong.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
But okay. Whatever happened, we met about 20 fans there. Because originally I was confused. I was like, so did you guys just love, have we just stumbled upon like something which, I didn't know there was such a massive Yogscast Ghostface Killah crossover audience, you know?
Yeah.
But a couple of them were like, oh yeah, Sips mentioned it, so we got to. Okay.
Nice. You owe me, Ghostface. You owe me.
So that was good. I spoke to this one guy who was like, he looked like me from 20 years ago, i.e. he was like, just had glasses, was wearing like a smart shirt, you know, quite a nerdy looking guy. And I was like, what are you doing here? He just said, I come to all of these. I come and see whoever's on, whatever's going on. And I was like, wow, you just come to, just not having any idea what's on, you just turn up. And he was like, I didn't know, have any idea who Ghostface was, but you know, I always come here. And I was like, you come here on your own? Anyway, he looks like a future serial killer. I'm sure, shout out to you if you're doing all
Jeez.
Right. Shout out to everyone I met. Shout outs. We're doing shout outs.
Oh, my God.
I was told off for doing that.
Sorry.
Rightly so, too, Lewis. You shouldn't be doing them either.
Sorry.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
So I want to ask you guys a question about this kind of music, okay? So in the late 80s and the early 90s, when gangster rap was a thing, Sips will know what I'm talking about, of course. There was a lot of, this is bad, this is encouraging violence, blah, blah, blah. And the counterpoint was always, we're just singing about what we know.
Yeah.
And this is our neighborhood, and this is our, you know, how we grew up, and these are the things that we, oddly enough, even if it sounds unpleasant to an outsider, perhaps it's kind of nostalgic for them, I guess. I've been thinking about this point a lot, and the idea that you just sing about what you know and dust your hands of any responsibility for people being influenced or inspired or the glamorizing of that lifestyle, I think is a little bit silly. So, for example, drill music in the UK is at the moment, that's like the bête noire.
Is that like the ultimate dad music, or am I?
No. Drill is the opposite of that. Drill is very hardcore. It's sort of got its roots in UK grime. It's actually American sound, I think, but it's UK drill is it's very violent and sort of it's like if you listen to some of it, it's very local.
Right.
So there'll be people talking about their postcode and specific streets and how if you come to our street, we will stab you to death and don't do it because this is our turf.
Don't ever come to Plymouth, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'll kill you.
But so it's literally like areas of London being rapped about as sort of like if you come here and you're from there, we're gonna stab you to death and we'll send you the bits to your mum. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I'm thinking that's not really just singing about your life. That's a literal invitation to other people to step up with their own drill-based retort or to, you know, try and test the limits of this postcode boundary system.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just questioning whether you can just continually say, hey, we're just singing about what we know. If what you know is stabbing people to death for being in the wrong postcode, I'm not so sure that's an inspiring message. I'm also not sure you can just say it's not your fault when other young people are like, yeah, and stab each other. I think part of that culture is grown out of the glamorizing of that kind of lifestyle. And I'm just saying I don't agree with the argument that you can just say, hey, man, we're just singing about what we know. And that happens to be dealing drugs to kids, getting kids to kill each other over who's in which postcode and deciding that this estate represents the boundary of some arbitrary territory, when in fact the problem is a lot deeper, and it's a lot more to do with, you know, essentially what is child abuse, these older gangsters getting these younger kids to do their bidding. So
I
disagree with you.
I think it's interesting. It goes back a long way. Like, I think gang culture has always been sort of glamorized and spoken about by mostly people who are in these gangs, right? Because it's almost like a promotional in a way, isn't it? It's to say, right, like, my gang is the best gang, we're like the baddest gang, we're dangerous and stuff. And it's like it shows loyalty, I guess, as well. Like, if you're dissing other gangs, then people in your gang will be like, well, fuck, this guy's for real, like, in our gang, like, there's no, he's not a traitor or anything like that. I think there's like a lot that goes into it,
right?
I get what you mean about, like, you know, just saying like, oh, we're just rapping about what we know or whatever, but like, it's such a cultural thing for people, and I think for people that are wrapped up in a gang and stuff like that. Like, a lot of these guys, like you said, are young and they're taken advantage of by older people who know better, probably. It's a strange one, but everything evolves, right? Like, it's the gang culture and the way that people beef with each other, and the way that comes out into music was never just going to stay the same as it was in the 80s. Like, everything has to evolve into something else. So it's natural now to get to this point. Like, maybe we've gotten to this point like a bit too soon, or, you know, maybe nobody ever wanted to get to this point, but here we are with people actually threatening to stab each other now. But I mean, threats of violence and stuff have always been around, like in those cultures as well, right? So it's nothing new, really. But
I feel like, especially with drill, it's quite specific. I feel like in the gangster rap stuff, whilst it was definitely, I think, glamorizing violence, especially mainly to white suburban kids, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's
they were the ones who were really sort of
they're the ones that had the money to buy all the stuff that's coming
CDs
out.
Anyway, and stuff.
Anyway,
but the drill stuff seems it's very beef oriented and sort of quite specific. Gangs will put out their own tracks to, like, diss tracks to other specific people. Previously, I feel like it was always rappers doing diss tracks about other rappers.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels a bit more, you know, neighborhood versus neighborhood. It'd be like if my street put out an album about the street over, calling them a bunch of cunts,
Agnes
and then were surprised
Smith
when they weren't happy about it.
125 Mulberry Lane. We're gonna knife you, bitch. We hate you.
Literally,
your cats,
like,
are annoying.
This is specific.
Your dog shit on my lawn.
You never put your bins out on bin day. Your recycling's all over the pavement after the guys have been around. Yeah, we could write a very specific rap. I might try and do that for next time and get a sick beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Illegal garage.
Yeah, rapping about that illegal garage. He'll fire back with his own track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, but I mean, fucking.
I've never heard of that music. Me neither. It sounds terrifying, but I always have this cynical viewpoint that people are doing it just to be the most extreme and to get recognized.
There
to
is
get
an element to that.
People
for
talking
sure,
about
though.
It,
like, sure. That's, it's like free marketing. If it's the controversial, then yeah.
How explicit can we be? And it feels like the answer is as explicit as extreme as possible.
Right.
You know,
I mean, you think about Cop Killer as a song. The most exposure that song got was when Charlton fucking Heston read the lyrics at some NRA meeting or something, where he's like, "Cop killer, cop killer."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a big deal that there was a song.
Well, like even NWA, remember when they found out that the FBI had them on a list of, you know, dangerous people or whatever, they just used that as marketing. They're like, fuck yeah, okay, great. This makes us sound even more notorious than we already are. So, you know, let's get a whole bunch of footage of us like arming ourselves with like, you know, AK-47s in the studio and stuff to really hit home. And like, I don't think NWA in themselves were like the hardest hardcore gangsters.
Look at Ice Cube now. Yeah. The dude's like a cuddly actor.
Yeah.
I think Eazy-E was pretty hardcore.
Eazy was. He'd never got into it in the first place to rap. He just wanted to make side money for
fucking bitches and Mac and hoes, I believe.
But he was like the neighborhood drug dealer, right? He was like the
gangster.
Like of their sort of area. Everybody knew who he was, and he just bankrolled them. But
I thought his flow was really good, and I liked his.
Thought the same, but except for him, he was always like, "Oh, I sound stupid. I don't like this or whatever." And everybody was like, "No, you got to do this." Like, just rap as if you were like just hanging out on the street, like with your friends or whatever. And he did. And the rest is like history sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. But like, I don't know. Like, I think you look at like a lot of these artists and stuff, and like, I think there is gang affiliation, but they're not the guys who are breaking down doors and shooting people in the face and taking money. You know what I mean?
I suppose like, the ultimate question is...
They're like the bards of the gang sort of thing, you know?
The bards.
No, it's true, though. It's true.
No, I like that. I suppose the ultimate question you're going to ask is anyone going to listen to a piece of music and do something they wouldn't have done anyway? I mean, that's the ultimate. Because otherwise, if
I
you open
it like
up and say,
to GTA,
oh, you're glamorizing it, and now all these kids are stabbing each other. It's like, wouldn't they have done that anyway? I mean, do you think they need the music? And they're like, oh, this song has woken me up to the idea that I am now capable of murder. Like, I don't know. I feel like actually it doesn't inspire stuff, and I suppose it glamorizes it a little bit and encourages. I think it might normalize lifestyles, but I don't think it necessarily creates them. I think I'm
in the same way that maybe you could use like a certain track to like galvanize yourself to study, or like, you know, go and do an exam or go and run
a
race.
You're such
a
fucking nerd.
Like the Rocky montage.
Whoever uses music to inspire themselves to study? What are you talking about?
Well, do you know what I mean? Like, you know what? When I was at school and stuff. Anyway, look, let's get back to Ghostface.
Study tracks.
I love that.
Shut up.
Bounce around his room. Yeah, let's fucking break some books here. Study.
Yeah, he just couldn't help himself. He's revealed himself.
Murder this book.
I am a nerd, okay? I can't help myself.
Oh, that's amazing.
This fucking book is going to get ripped up.
So Ghostface, then Ghostface came out, and he just, first of all, like, I must admit, I didn't really understand like a single lyric. Like, first of all, I filmed a little bit on my phone just to send to.
Oh,
like,
you're one of those
people.
Well, and he filmed when they played "We Will Rock You" by Queen. A song that
so
he
they played
recognized.
A little bit of that. They played some of the Fugees, "Killing Me Softly."
No, that was funny. Yeah,
they played a bit of Nirvana, "Smells Like Teen Spirit." Like, they, all of these things were like mashups, you know, with some existing thing. And it was funny that I recorded a little bit. And one of the ones I looked back at later, I realized he was rapping like, "Bacon and eggs and toast and bacon and eggs." It's like a breakfast rap. I was like, I think I could have done with one of them, actually.
Yeah, breakfast
to
rap.
Soak up some of the
I'm
cider.
Really hungry thinking about that now.
But yeah, like, it was, it, do you know what? I didn't feel unsafe at any time. I felt it was really wholesome.
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
I had a really nice time. And I kind of, I'm not disappointed that I didn't feel unsafe, but like...
You wanted some danger?
I just wanted a bit of risk.
I think if you pushed some people around and called them names, if you dissed their postcode, you never know. You might be able to start a beef.
There was a drunk guy who started like dancing around in front of me and bumped into me a couple of times, and I gave him a big shove.
Wow. I shouldn't use the term starting a beef, because as a vegan, obviously you would have to start a tofu or
a plant-based a plant-based patty.
Yeah. Exactly.
micro protein altercation.
So this is what I'm told now, by the way, guys. If you're interested in being healthy, you can be plant-based. Right? You eat plant-based foods, yeah. Because vegan isn't a cool world. It's got stigma attached to it.
I don't know if that's true.
It's like an insult.
Protesters,
you know.
And stuff.
I think plant-based sounds worse. I think veganism has actually come a long way.
Plant-based sounds like really healthy. It sounds like, you know, you've just done a run and you're going to have your, you know, your protein shake and a plant-based snack.
I think that's a big mistake to rebrand. I think vegans used to have a bad rap. Now, like everybody points out, there's a vegan sausage roll, for Christ's sake, in Greggs.
Yeah.
So I think the word vegan has stopped being like a bad word. I think a lot of people have embraced, especially
now they figured
people.
Out how to make a lot of money off of it. So it's the next big thing, right?
I think the problem with vegan is vegan feels like you're trying to replicate the meat products, whereas plant-based feels like you're just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Where does the word come from? Is it Greek or something? What is it? What does it mean, the word vegan?
Vegan.
I think it's just an even more shortened vegetarian, right? Maybe? Even less. You eat less than a vegetarian.
Vegan.
I don't know. But no, I had a really good time. I think everyone had a really good time.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, I want to go to another one. See if we could maybe go to like Glasgow next year and see like the whole clan. That'd be good. You would love that.
The whole clan.
That would be an experience. You'd get to see like, the RZA and like the Jizza.
The old dirty bastard.
The young dirty bastard now, actually.
Okay.
His son has taken over.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
His son has taken over.
The YDB, yeah.
The term vegan is just the first few letters of vegetarian and the last few letters of vegetarian. So it's vegan.
Vegan.
Thank you.
And it was just as part of the Donald Watson, secretary of the Leicester branch of the Vegetarian Society, set up a new quarterly newsletter priced tuppence called the Vegan News, when the Vegetarian Society was like, no, we're not going to give you vegan space in our newsletter. And then he said, well, I'll start my own newsletter. And they said, fine, you go and do that. And that's what he did. So that's where vegan comes from. Nice. We learned something today.
Oh, vegan.
I thought old dirty bastard was called that because he had like 20 children, right?
He was actually dirty. They called him old dirty bastard because there is no father to his style, Lewis.
Oh,
he was off the grid.
There was a martial arts movie called Old Dirty and the Bastard.
Yeah. There you go.
They used to call him Rusty, and he used to like,
oh, right.
He used to be very dirty, and he had like shit stains in his undies and stuff, and he was just kind of like, you know, the guy that got picked on for it, but he didn't give a fuck. He was just like,
he turned it around, did a load of drugs and made a load of cool music and didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and then died of a drug overdose. Yeah.
Well, that's ODB. He lived as he died.
He did.
He was 35.
On drugs.
As old as my age, he died.
It's a shame.
Look how much he achieved.
He was nuts.
Life,
I liked him. He had really good flow.
One of the things I will say about Wu-Tang Clan is that obviously I knew really very little about them, but it feels like, like they were obviously fans of like these martial arts movies in the 80s and, you know, all of these kind of semi kind of crappy like ghetto movies that were kind of often like very exaggerated and kind of just weird. And even like, and actually a lot of the lyrics after I listened through some of the albums, as in preparation, I did my homework. Okay, for this gig.
Did you put on some study music beforehand?
You put on some lo-fi Wu-Tang to help study.
Most people just go to the gig, but Lewis is like doing his research ahead of time. It's adorable.
Well, it felt like they were, even like when they started writing these albums, they were not scared to use like these external influences. You know, like some of the, you know, they're talking about Voltron and stuff. You know, they're talking about like stuff that, you know, can you imagine today you've got like fucking, I don't know, Chief Keef or something, some drill music
Chief Keef is like one of the oldest rappers around, isn't he?
Chief Beef.
Chief Keef. He's like a fucking, he's like a drill music
is
guy.
Is he?
I googled him up. Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Imagine him. Okay,
he's 24.
Talking about, I don't know, anime. Like, do you know what I mean? watching Naruto, doing the run with my arms behind me.
Well, they don't, though. That's the thing. Most rap isn't like that. You know, like the misconception, or like the sort of like, you know, like when like a kid's movie does like a rap, they do them like ironically to be funny or whatever. And it's often about stupid shit. Like, you know, like, oh, I've shit my pants, or I'm watching My Little Pony, and they, you know, they do a dumb rap about it or whatever. But like most rap isn't like that at all. Like, you know, like they choose words carefully to make everything flow better and sound better, and not just sound stupid, like something you wouldn't want to listen to, you know?
Right, right.
But I mean, I feel like it wouldn't fly today you wouldn't get a rap. Well, maybe it would.
I'm thinking of Grandmaster Flash, by the way, is who I'm thinking.
You wouldn't get like a big modern rap group that has a name that is based off of you know, some bad Asian movies.
No, but back in those days, like rap, I think it still happens to an extent, but it's a lot more obscure. But a lot of like early hip hop and like the sort of like, you know, golden age of hip hop, like heavy sampling of like soul, like old soul music, like from like the 60s and the 70s, and it's just like, Some of these songs you'll hear for like the first time, and maybe you've only ever heard the hip hop song, but it's just right. Like they literally just take a song and just put a heavier drum beat over it in a lot of cases. And it's just like, okay, so they've just effectively stolen a song. And
I think that's the origins. That was the origins.
Nowadays, yeah. But I think the fact that things were so borrowed back then meant that, you know, like
borrowed.
They're like, well, fuck, we're borrowing the song. We might as well just borrow like the names from this movie and all this other shit from a movie as well. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was just the done thing back then. Whereas nowadays,
yeah, I mean, but also it's like, if you think about, if you're making music without instruments, you're relying on other people who've made music with instruments that you can then sample.
But yeah, I agree to an extent. You probably wouldn't get it again. But that's kind of what made them so unique. You know, like even the cover of their first album, you know, they're all wearing masks and stuff. And I think everybody just thought, this is fucking so weird and like crazy, but kind of cool as well. And people loved it. Like, people really loved it.
My sort of feeling was that it was more embracing of popular culture. Whereas I don't know whether grime artists and stuff and drill are kind of more in their own bubble, in their own world, like not willing to, like, you know, I guess I'm wondering how attached they are, modern artists, to like their having a foothold in their community as like an identity. And they're using, like, you know, like you said, like local postcode beefs and stuff. You know, that feels to me like someone's just trying to write in this thing just to stand out with their group of, you know, in their, like, almost like just having like a gang anthem.
It's a bit like having a YouTube channel where you just make videos for your mates, and then it gradually becomes a thing.
And but because it's on YouTube, people, you know, will pay you for it. And suddenly, yeah, oh my God, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Holy shit. God, wow.
That's because that's literally how I think we all started, really, was just making videos like for your guild or your corp or just your mates and
not
stuff.
Me.
And then,
not me. I was promised wheelbarrows full of money for playing games. And I was like, yep.
Did it work out? It did, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
But I'm wondering whether or not, you know, because my head has been spun around by how wholesome this event was. Maybe like if I went to a gig in like Brixton, you know, with a bunch of guys playing drill, would that be all wholesome, or would I genuinely be shitting my pants?
You might. Well, it just depends. I don't know. Like I feel Ghostface has been around for a long time. You know, Wu-Tang's been around for a long time. They'll definitely have a more mixed audience, right, than something that's
maybe
new.
It's scary right now in Brixton, but in 20 years, when all these artists grow
like
up,
you said, there was,
and have kids, there was and
a
like
good
dads,
mix of people at
and
that
then they
show.
Do a show. Is it gonna be a wholesome show? Do you know, does everything evolve?
Yeah.
I feel like all the Wu-Tang Clan are now, like, I don't know. I don't really know. Have they murdered anyone or done anything really bad? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think they've done anything overly bad. But they, you know, they grew up in very sort of like, you know, rough circumstance, deprived circumstances. So they've all got like, you know, previous felonies, and a lot of them have, you know, served time in jail and for various things or whatever. Like, it's kind of inevitable, I think, like, when that's your background, you know, you come from a poor area where you know, there is a lot of crime and stuff like that.
Have you guys watched this show, The Mandalorian?
No.
No.
Well,
it's on Disney Plus.
It is.
Everybody's going nuts about it, though. Isn't there like a baby Yoda?
So the only way that we can watch this movie, the only way you can watch The Mandalorian, okay, is if you have a US address and you charge the account to that and you use a proxy to view
it. So Flax, how did you watch The Mandalorian then, having known?
Exactly that way.
Wow, okay.
Right, okay, cool.
Well,
and good to know.
It's I've got a good VPN. And right. I have an address in the States. I have access to an address in the States. So yeah, it's
excellent.
Pretty
right. Well, good. Well, we haven't seen it because we don't have access.
Well, let me tell you something.
We don't have a good VPN either. So.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to say they stole, but I wouldn't have minded a nod in the credits. Shout out to Bodega. I know you hate shout outs. All I'm going
to
say.
Did they do a shout out to this. Bodega in the credits?
No, but I wouldn't have minded.
No.
He even uses the grabby at one point. Opening scene is in a dusty bar. I mean, I know it's not, you know, exact. It's pretty cliched in itself, but I just thought, you know, the very first episode, the very first scene, just like Bodega. Come on.
Why are you unhappy about the Bodega live action series?
Well, now there's not going to be a fucking Bodega now. There's not going to be any vanishingly small chance there already was of there being some kind of Bodega TV show. Forget about it, because everyone will just say, oh, it's just like The Mandalorian. And then the true fans would come out and say, actually, Bodega's been around a lot longer than The Mandalorian. Yeah. And I would praise those
just
people.
Like Bodega.
But yeah, there's no chance now. There's no any like I said, there was probably a 0.01% chance that some Yahoo at Netflix would go like, oh, this Bodega looks pretty good, and make it into a TV show. But now there's no chance. Because The Mandalorian is basically Bodega, the fucking TV show. So
yeah,
they
beat you to it.
Fucking Disney.
You had to get in there before Disney.
I needed to start my own multi-billion-dollar entertainment corporation.
Fuck.
So what do you think of it?
I thought it was great.
It's only like two episodes out.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to have opinions anymore, am I? I forgot.
Well, now
it's good.
Well, no, I just, it's like you've had the dog for 12 hours. We love her. She's not allowed on the sofa. The kids are cleaning their room. We'll see the first episode of The Mandalorian, and it's great.
Two episodes.
Right.
First two episodes. And I've also been watching a show called Succession.
Right.
Which has got Brian Cox, the good one, not the fucking flake scientist, the good Brian Cox,
from
the astronaut.
Tell us how you really feel about Brian Cox.
I don't like him.
Fuck.
I don't like him. He's a leech.
Right.
On the BBC taxpayer.
He's every woman, every middle-aged housewife's wet dream.
Is he?
That's
a little bit.
You're going off to work,
to
hard grind, and she's staying at home. Flicking her bean to Brian Cox to
flicking
about
her bean.
And I'm that the boomer, apparently. I mean, Jesus.
Flicking her bean.
Unbelievable.
We've reached a new low on this podcast.
That's
courtesy
a low.
Of Lewis the Boomer Brindley.
Oh,
unbelievable.
But yeah, Succession is really good.
Succession.
I recommend it.
I've been watching The Devil Next Door, which I think is been pretty interesting. It's about the guy.
Oh, that's good.
In the 80s, they think he was a Nazi death camp operator.
He
maintains that he wasn't. And
John Demjanjuk.
We recommended you this last week.
Demjanjuk. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm glad you're watching that.
It's very harrowing, but very good. I love courtroom stuff because I find it so fascinating.
Yeah, same,
in general.
Same.
But
I feel like I like that better than the like stuff like the men. Like, superhero stuff and like I much prefer real crime, like real stuff, documentaries and stuff now to like fiction.
Well, I think what's nice about it is that when this was happening, it happened over this 20-year period, and so you only really got it in dribs and drabs when you were living through it, and so it's now sort of this whole historical story all pieced together nicely.
Well, it was going on. I was 7 years old, so like I don't think I was keeping up with it back then. You know, like. Didn't have my device with the notifications turned on or anything back then to like let me know the latest on the Demjanjuk case.
That you've lived through, you know, you didn't necessarily follow every single aspect of it, or certainly know what was going on behind the scenes.
Of course not.
Anyway, we've got to go, but thanks for listening. This is a very positive podcast, actually. Ghost of Killer was good.
It was one of the better ones, actually.
Lots of good things.
I don't think we talked about porn or dicks or anything once. This time.
A little bit. But
who did it? Who was it?
He said flicking a bean.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck, I take it all back. God damn, Lewis. What the hell goes through your mind?
I've ruined it. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?